it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Brooke Taylor is a globally recognized transformational career coach. She's a keynote speaker and the leading authority on a phenomenon she pioneered known as the success wound. She began her career in Silicon Valley, and today she's the secret weapon for executive women at the world's most influential firms, including Goldman Sachs, McKinsey, Uber, Salesforce, Coinbase, and Meta. Her newest book is Healing the Success Wound. Welcome to the show, Brooke.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, more about your work, and what motivated you to write the book.
Sure. I think a lot of people in nonfiction write the book that they needed. And I, from a very young age, growing up in Silicon Valley, Enneagram 3, if that means anything to you, like typical achiever, firstborn daughter, was obsessed with this notion of being the best and achieving, and in a lot of very healthy ways, wanting to be the best person and the best daughter and the best student that I could possibly be. But underneath that was this kind of empty cup feeling, this inadequacy that I always remember having. And it's when my ambition came, it almost like was powered by that inadequacy, that a lot of suffering started in my life. Drugs and alcohol became a coping mechanism for my, you know, not my 9 to 5, but like my 8 to 7 at Google. You know, I took my gold star chasing mentality to my first job at Google, to a great college. And by the age of 24, I was managing $80 million in revenue, which made me feel like I had arrived. It made me feel like that empty cup was finally full. But the problem was that, you know, it would keep draining over and over again. It never felt like enough. No matter how much I achieved, it never felt like enough. And, you know, sooner or later, this cycle kind of brought me to my knees. And I realized 3 things in succession. The first was that I had a problem with alcohol and I needed to get sober. The second was that I had been sexually harassed by my direct manager at Google, but I didn't report it because I was up for promotion and I didn't want to rock the boat. I didn't want to anger or embarrass people who could grant me the significance and approval and validation that I so desperately needed, because without Google, who was I? And then the third is that my father was diagnosed with terminal cancer. So it caused me to really pump the brakes and reevaluate my life, my relationship with success, significance, external validation, and approval. And, you know, you asked me about my personal life. Essentially, from that moment of this, you know, breakdown when I was 25 until now, so 10 years later, I've been obsessed with this question of how can people who have so much still feel like it's not enough? And how does that show up in our lives, our careers, our leadership places and positions? And it's been my mission on a personal level to recover from the success wound in the same way that I recovered from addiction. I treat them both very similarly. I treat them seriously, because when I'm running on my success wound, all sort of, you know, pride, sense of self, all that's good in my life can feel like it's not there. So my personal mission is to make sure that everyone can diagnose when their success wound shows up and give them tools to heal it.
Well, I appreciate all that. Thank you for sharing. You work primarily with women. Do you think that women experience this differently than men do?
Yeah. So I think the success wound is universal. It is the pain that comes from mistaking success for self-worth. And I think this is a human experience, but I do believe that it shows up differently for men and women. There's research that shows that women experience shame. Their kind of like core shame wound is around this notion of like balance, perfection, and image. And for men, their core shame wound is around being a provider, powerful, wealth status. And so because I work primarily with women, I felt clear in terms of writing a book around the success wound for women. But I know that this book and this message will be helpful for men too. I just haven't studied it in as specific of a detail. And that is a common question I get asked for sure.
Yeah, well, it certainly makes sense to me that we have universal human experiences, but we experience them differently because boys are different than girls. Mm-hmm. So, How do you diagnose it? Is it just start paying it? How do you diagnose it?
Yeah. So there are five ways that the success wound shows up, and these are across genders. But these five ways are almost like your symptoms. So if you were to go to a doctor, that would, you know, any sort of way, like if I was your doctor, this is how I would diagnose your success wound. So the first kind of way that it shows up is this grinder personality. So this is the person who wants to have more, do more, be more. They get a high from checking something off their to-do list. They prove their value by the volume that they produce. They love being a machine, a gets shit done person. And they tend to work. It's not just good work ethic. It's working past the point of diminishing returns. So spinning their wheels on something, not being able to see the forest through the trees or prioritize. The second is the hider. This is the most common. The hider is the person who, you know, might look successful from the outside, but secretly harbors big dreams on the inside. They know they're not living up to their potential because they fear failure, embarrassment, financial insecurity, but they also fear success. And so they play small. Then we have the pleaser. The pleaser is the person who is constantly wondering, are you mad at me? They're taking the emotional temperature of the room, and they want to be liked more than anything else. To them, success is being liked and having approval. And the quality of their relationships is the most important. They can also have an anxious attachment style in other areas. Then we have the seeker. We all have a friend like this, somebody who's career confused or in a full-blown existential crisis. They're constantly chasing the next thing. Oh, this next job, you know, George, I finally found it. I cracked it. It's like, it's this job that's going to rescue me from my, you know, from my misery, or it's this business idea that's finally going to be the thing, you know, for me and my family. And then we have the work hard, play hard, which is what I was when I was at Google. This is the person who lives extremes, both in the extreme in which they want to perform, but also the extreme in which they want to blow off steam, escape, vacation, whatever that is. They like to be the life of the party and the life of the boardroom at the same time. Those are the five ways that the success wound shows up.
And you diagnose that I am exhibiting one or many of these things potentially, and...
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Are they inherently problematic, or are they only problematic when it's problematic?
Yeah. They all have strengths. Huge strengths. But the interesting part about our ambition and our determination and our drive is that it only has two power sources. So unlike the lamp in your living room that could be plugged into maybe 10 across the downstairs, you know, your ambition can only be plugged into your success wound or into your true self. And so when our ambition is plugged into our success wound, so a place of scarcity, fear, limitation, coercion, that's when you get those five behaviors that veer into suffering. But when those behaviors or our ambition is plugged into the natural part of you that is already courageous, clear, confident, knows, you know, why they're doing something, is clear on their intention, is doing it not just from a place of balance or health, but is doing it because they care about it. So let me give you an example. Like, I wrote this book when I, the whole time I was pregnant, between the hours of 5 a.m. and 10 a.m. I said no to so many social engagements. I said no to travel. But I kept up my business at the same time. Now, people from the outside were like, you should slow down. We haven't seen you in 6 months. What's going on with you? But I knew that I wanted to write this book and that it mattered to me. And I knew it had to be done this way because I didn't want to shut down my business because my partner was starting his own business and I wanted to float him in that context. So this was my aligned ambition. This was coming from a place of intentionality, clarity, courage, perseverance, perspective. That might look like grinding to somebody else, but this made me energized and excited, and I knew why I was doing that. So that's just an example of how grinding can be, again, from a place of clarity and intention versus fear and scarcity.
Which makes a lot of sense. Aligned ambition is a beautiful term. So can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. Aligned ambition is the state of contentment and fulfillment that comes from following the directions of that internal guidance system rather than the directions of your success wound. So why this is relevant is that I work with so many leaders across Fortune 500 companies, Fortune 100 companies, really, and they all come to me with your typical kind of like career issues. I'm putting that in quotes. Low self-confidence, imposter syndrome, burnout, perfectionism, overworking, underworking, all those five behaviors. But you know, the solution every single time to this variety of behaviors is getting in touch with the part of you that, again, is already courageous, knows who she is, what she wants, and how to get it, and knows how to act from that place. In other words, this is working from a place of nervous system regulation. It's working from a place of intention, and it's knowing how and why you're doing something and why it matters to you. And I think that this is really the missing piece in our career development conversation, because we're so obsessed with things like, you know, five steps to give better feedback, or, you know, five ways to have more emotional intelligence. But this all focuses so much on the level of behavior, but it ignores the whole root of the iceberg, right? Our emotions, our energy, our spirituality, our motivations. And so aligned ambition really brings all those things together and finds a working style that works for you.
I love it. Contentment is an underutilized word, and all we talk about these days with fulfillment is how Amazon gets a box from the factory to my house in 10 minutes. So,
that's so true.
Two things that we ought be talking about a lot more than we are. So I'm certainly glad that you are. Mm-hmm. Being able to diagnose that, it's not easy, but I can certainly look at myself and see some of those behaviors and how it's not a positive thing, and how it's mm-hmm. much more of a negative. And being able to prioritize and focus on the things that are most important to me, and work hard towards those things, that certainly makes sense. But how do you, if I don't know what contents me or helps me feel contented, and I don't really know what fulfills me, is that a stupid thing to say? Does everybody know that?
Mm. No, not at all. But you know, in my work and my research, what I think is so helpful for people to understand is that fulfillment doesn't come from what you do or what you work on. It comes from how you work and your working styles. Hmm. And I know this because of the 10,000 people that have, you know, filled out my survey, and the 5,000 people that my team's worked with. 60% of those who have come being like, I'm so desperate. Get me a new job. My boss is a nightmare. This isn't what I want to be doing. I'm not in my right path. 60% of those people end up staying in their role, not because they're complacent, not because they're not capable of finding another job, not because they're not good talent, but because their ways of working changed their experience of the job. And I think we can all know this intellectually, but when I tell people, you know, with a whole lot of love, more often than not, the job isn't the problem. You're the problem. I actually find that to be very freeing, because that means that I get to change, right? I have autonomy, choice in terms of how I experience this job. Now, I'm not saying, you know, put up with toxic culture. I'm not saying, you know, live, you know, or work in a job that is a dead end. But I think we have so much more capacity to experience fulfillment and contentment when we look at our relationship to the work.
The job isn't really the problem. You probably are.
Do you agree or disagree?
For sure. 1,000%. Yeah. Yeah. I work in personal finance, and rarely is money the problem. It's right. You that's the problem. And that means that you're also the solution. So that's mm-hmm. a really good thing once you get past the cold water to the face kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, so often I see so many people, especially in like the seeker category, being like, you know, it's that shiny object. Okay, I'll just switch jobs, instead of having the difficult conversation with their boss or their colleagues, or I will switch jobs because things have been hard for the last 6 months. But I'm actually a huge fan, despite being a career coach, I'm a huge fan of sticking things out and ironing out the issues and figuring out, is there a way for me to be successful here? Because a lot of people, in a very, you know, kind of strategic way, they discount the opportunity cost of switching jobs and how much more, you know, brand equity you need to establish in that job, how much more of a personal brand you're leaving behind, not to mention financial upside of, sometimes staying where you are. Like, I had a client who was in private equity and she left every 2 years. So she missed out on the carry that was available to her in that context. So these can, this success swoon can have real life financial consequences. And so I think, doing the work that's in this book and doing the work on yourself to fix some of your working habits is probably the best career work that somebody can do.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. And I'd never really thought about, which whenever I say that, it's usually a fairly obvious thing that there's, of course, an opportunity cost with changing jobs. You're resetting the clock on so many different things potentially, and we're all getting older. And so there is that. And if I were mature enough and brave enough to take that hard look at myself and to do some of the work that you're helping people to do, then I probably wouldn't find myself in a burning building. I'd probably be more proactive and have harder conversations so things don't spiral out of control and get so bad that I feel like escape is the only option.
Right. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And, we heal on four levels. We heal on the level of emotion, the level of thought, the level of action, and the level of spirit, or kind of higher purpose. And, again, most career development conversations, they just focus on the level of behavior. This is how you manage your time better. This is how you give feedback in a constructive way. But so often it's that emotional piece that's causing us to want to hit the escape button, or to hit the shrink button, or to hit the, disengage button, or the quiet quit button. And so that's why, one of the chapter titles is like, emotional work is critical in your career. And it's probably the missing piece for a lot of people.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Which makes a ton of sense. So when somebody picks up the book, what should they expect? I'll just ask the question instead of keeping on talking.
Yeah. No, it's a great question. It opens with my personal story that I shared a little bit of, in this context, but really like the cost of the success wound to me and how it really took me into some dark and extreme places, and how, over 10 years ago, I thought I was the only one, but years later, I really discovered that this is a universal experience. Then it will go over really what are the roots and the reach of the success wound? How is this actually a cultural wounding that's installed in us in a kind of psycho-spiritual way? One thing that I'm really proud of is the way in which it bridges the gap between some spiritual principles and corporate principles, because both of those things to me are necessary in order to change. You need to have real grounded, sound business and corporate advice, but you also have to be willing to expand your frame of reference of what's possible for you, which is where I bring in spiritual principles. So part one is all about what the success wound is, how this shows up for you culturally, emotionally, and psychologically, what the cost is to our spirit and our soul. And then the whole second half of the book is how to heal it and how to adopt this aligned ambition. One other thing I'm really proud of is there is a lot of original research. So research that you've never heard before or seen before around this phenomenon of never enough, specifically in a corporate context.
Never enough. Need more, Brooke. More progress, more money.
Yes. The disease of more.
The disease of more. All. Can we talk about one of your favorite spiritual principles?
Sure. Yeah. At the end of the book, it's chapter 9, and I wrote it when I was 37 weeks pregnant and my son was growth restricted, which means that, he was on the smaller side and there was a question around, I had to go into all these advanced tests and screens and stuff like that to make sure he was okay. And at that time, I live in LA, about a mile from where the Palisades fire broke out. So I went up to my roof and I looked up and I saw more lava and fire than sky. And my husband and I grabbed what we could. And I said goodbye to the nursery. I spent the last 5 months setting up. And, you know, our hospital was in the fire zone. So there was a lot of uncertainty and fear. And I remember checking on my friends in the Palisades and, you know, obviously not getting responses because they were in a state of terror. And over the next kind of 2 weeks, watching this whole thing unfold for my community, fortunately, my house was okay. Something, you know, with my husband's work burned, but I'm a member of this Palisades community. And I remember reaching out to them and it took no time for them to say things like, you know, what remains is enough. Nothing of true value was missed. And they would also say things like, you know, two things can be true. I can be devastated, but a part of me is also liberated by this. And they would also say things like, you know, uncertainty is the birthplace of invention and innovation. And I don't know where my life is going to go from here, where my kids are going to go to school, but I have the sense of peace. So those three things I was taking in while I was writing this last chapter, this chapter 9. And it hit on these three principles of abundance. So choosing to see what remains as enough, non-duality, meaning not to being able to see the gray area between the black and white thinking that plagues so many of us on a daily basis of like, this is the worst thing in the world or the best thing in the world, or, you know, I'm going to get fired or I'm going to get promoted. The mental seesaw we all exist between. And then finally, this notion of faith, like being able to meet uncertainty with faith, and watching how these people were able to like navigate through this, not without devastation and heartbreak, just really brought this into living color for me. Because, you know, so many of us face these kind of career fires, whether it's a reorg or getting laid off or anything like that. But I think it's these three principles, not just in this instance, but I've seen over the last 10 years that are allow people to kind of live this aligned ambition on a daily basis, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And those are powerful things to be considering and certainly thinking about. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, Brooke, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you? And where can they get their copy of Healing the Success Wound?
You can get your copy anywhere books are sold. It's available now. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore. You can follow me on Instagram, Brooke V. Taylor. And if you go to brooketaylorcoaching.com/book and you input your receipt, you'll get all of the exercises and frameworks in the book in a digital copy if that's what you'd like.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Brooke your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pick up your copy of Healing the Success Wound wherever you buy your books. Follow Brooke on Instagram, Brooke V. Taylor, and go to brooketaylorcoaching.com and bring the receipt for the book. Did I say that right?
You got it.
Okay. I have a hard time reading my handwriting sometimes, Brooke.
Well, you're taking notes.
You can bring the receipt and then get the additional digital assets for the book as well. Thanks again, Brooke.
Thank you.
And until next time, do your part by doing your best.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.